You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
Welcome to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Each week, I, John Wall, will bring you the latest gaming impressions, news, and industry happenings delivered to you in under 15 minutes to fit your busy life. On today's episode, we will be revisiting The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. If you haven't yet subscribed to the show, please take a moment to do so. And I would also love to hear your feedback, which you can do by leaving a review wherever you're listening to today's episode. You can also find the show and join in on the conversation by finding us on Twitter or Facebook by searching for Midlife SQ. Every week I start the show with some positive vibes, a special shout out to somebody amazing in an attempt to make the gaming space a bit more welcoming and to spread some joy. All month long, I've been calling out members of the LGBTQ+ community as part of Pride Month, and this week's positive vibes go out to I Am Brandon. Brandon is a social media influencer, a Twitch streamer for nearly a decade, and community manager for Triple Topping Games. He has won the Golden Joystick Award for the best new streamer, and he was nominated by Gaming Magazine for LGBTQ Streamer of the Year. He has helped raise money for various charities and is a voice for positivity in the community. You can find him and follow him on Twitch, Twitter, or wherever by searching for I Am Brandon or I Am Brandon TV. So please do me a favor and go give him a follow. And as June comes to a close, please don't forget that being a true ally to the queer community means more than just rainbow profile pics and shoutouts for 30 days. It means being there the other 335 days of the year. It means being a voice of solidarity in the fights for LGBTQ rights and in the gaming space, amplifying the voices of queer people all year long. Generally speaking, the format of this podcast is that I devote an entire episode to a brand new game or subject each and every week. 6 weeks ago, I spoke about The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom and my thoughts on the first 20 or so hours of that game. Well, this game is something special, so I'm going to break my own rules, and this week we're going to talk more about that game now that I have completed it. 152 shrines, countless Koroks, and over 105 hours later. Don't worry though, I'm still going to keep this completely spoiler-free. First things first, last time I mentioned that I thought that the game suffered a bit from being on such outdated technology that the game could be a little bit even on the ugly side. And while I stand by everything that I said on that episode, I do have to say that after a while, I did kind of just get used to it, and it bothered me less and less the more that I played. I still would love to see this game running at, 4K 60 with some better texture work, but I'm just less annoyed by it, both because of the amount of time that I've spent playing the game and also because the rest of the game is just so dang good. Seriously, I don't know what they put in the water over there at Nintendo HQ, but they just have a way with game design that is just simply unrivaled by nearly anyone else in the industry. It's like there's this bit of Nintendo magic that they sprinkle on top of each game, and it gives it that extra something that just makes it special. I can't put my finger on what exactly it is, but I'm going to chalk it up to talent and the knowledge that comes from creating classic games for some 40 years. While there is a point to be made about the game having less of a wow factor due to its familiarity, you know, it's mostly the same map and many same gameplay mechanics, it's still building off of what is arguably the greatest game of all time. And after 100 plus hours, there are several things that stand out as either being unique when compared to that last game or big improvements over it. The big one being the crafting mechanic using Ultra Hand. It goes beyond just being able to build a boat to get across a river or a hot air balloon to reach an island way up in the sky. It's the way in which you're able to really experiment with all sorts of various pieces and parts to build these imaginative machines. Whether you want to create a Mad Max inspired truck complete with, you know, spiked armor and flamethrowers, or a supersonic jet to get you across the map in a matter of minutes. If you can think of it, there's a pretty good chance that you can build it in the game. And the way that you can use it for puzzle solving is awe-inspiring. I mean, there are definitely ways in which the shrines or the puzzles in the game are designed to be completed, but these extra tools and gadgets offer you so many more ways to think outside of the box. There's almost nothing more satisfying than knowing that the game wants you to do one thing to get past a puzzle or an area, but you come up with a creative solution on your own to cheat that system, to outsmart the game. It's so beautifully thought out and designed. It's hard to contemplate how the game designers pulled this off. But probably the biggest surprise to me was how much I enjoyed the story. I mean, if I'm being honest, storytelling hasn't been one of the biggest draws of the series to me, and I really love this series, but it's always been more about characters and the lore. But I really think they did a great job with the story this time around. Much of it isn't told chronologically, per se, but in memories that you find scattered around the world and that you piece together to get this complete narrative picture. As I discovered these bits, I was surprised by how well done both the cinematics were, as well as the voice acting, and how much I was getting pulled into the story and this iteration of the classic Zelda tale. It's full of surprises and great new characters and lots of great story moments and interesting lore. And I'm not really like an emotional guy, you know, at least when it comes to games or movies. But I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a moment or two when, like the Grinch, I felt a slight twinge when my small heart grew 3 sizes. There are fun dungeons to explore and giant bosses to take down and more map and secrets to discover that would probably take me 200 hours to even come close to seeing everything. And it all culminates in one of the coolest ending boss battles in the series history. And the toughest. Man, I admit, I was getting really frustrated after failing over and over and over again on this fight. And you really need to do a lot of preparation before the fight to have a chance when you get there. really stock up on what you need. And the funny thing is that, you know, I looked at about three or four different websites for strategies because I just wasn't getting anywhere. And it wasn't until I stumbled on a move that none of the sites even mentioned. They didn't even say this was possible to do. But once I discovered this, I was able to finally take him down and roll credits. On the first episode about Tears of the Kingdom, I wasn't sure if this game would be able to stand up to Breath of the Wild. But now I think it can confidently stand side by side with that classic. It might not have that new car smell that the last game had, but it's got all of the bells and whistles, and it improves on the formula in enough ways to make this one of the best in the series. And after these two back-to-back classics, I'm incredibly curious. What comes next? Other than my, you know, general anxiety that I have about, you know, everything, there isn't a whole lot that I would say genuinely scares me. Heights scare me. Not like when I'm in an airplane or up in a skyscraper, but like if I'm standing on a roof and I need to rely on myself not to get myself killed, that scares me. The words President DeSantis, that scares the hell out of me. And another thing that scares me is the fact that my child this week passed his driver's permit test and is now legally allowed to operate a motor vehicle. It's another landmark on my life's path that reminds me of how quickly things are passing, how fast time is going, and how old I'm getting. I just can't imagine sitting next to my child as he drives down the freeway. It's nothing about his driving skills. I'm sure he's going to be fine at it. It's just, how is this possible? How are we already here? He shouldn't even be able to reach the pedals. Just the other day, he was nervously standing on stage at his kindergarten graduation, and we were just making Pinewood Derby cars together and watching it race through the school gym. And now he's driving and talking about getting a job and thinking about college. College. My God. I love watching him grow up. It's amazing. It's the best. But man, I wish it would just slow down a little bit more. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. Don't forget, you can catch a new episode every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoy the show, you can show your support by subscribing or sharing or leaving a review. And you can follow the show on Twitter and Facebook, where we go by Midlife SQ. So until next time, be well and keep playing.